Hello, welcome to another episode of After School. My name is Mark and I'm the animator behind this channel. I just want to say a huge thank you because After School just hit 3 million subscribers. This is a number I never thought would have been possible when I first started this channel. So hopefully I can encourage you like you've encouraged me. The video we're going to watch today is a clip from my podcast with Brett Weinstein. I thought this clip was so good that I figured I'd animate it and put it here. So without further ado, let's dive in.
It's going to seem like a strange analogy, but I think we've already seen a near-apocalyptic catastrophe that has unfolded as a result of the much more mundane process of people being sold porn by an industry that doesn't care about them. That fact has messed up all of the incentives around partnering romantically. And people, if you're young enough not to remember how the world was, you may think that that sounds preposterous, that somebody is defending the idea that romance as it was in movies was ever real. And that's not it. There was just simply a system in which people were compelled by something internal to themselves to partner, whether they rationally thought that was a good idea or not. And it resulted in a very important, powerful human process functioning correctly. And the combination of technological birth control and pornography has now wrecked all of the incentive structures in that system and replaced it with nothing meaningful. And it is resulting in people paradoxically not being sexually satisfied as a result of their liberation, not seeing the wisdom in having a family, not understanding the nature of the creature that they have become through a 3.5 billion year process of evolution.
Yeah, it seems like in our modern world, there are two archetypes that are emerging, that of the incel, the involuntary celibate who just stays online all day, and the OnlyFans model who is kind of willfully objectifying themselves and selling their bodies. It seems like these two archetypes have emerged simultaneously. And I'd love to get your take from like an evolutionary point of view, like what is happening here? Why have these two things emerged simultaneously? And is there a way to get the traditional form of romance back?
If there is to be hope for Gen Z, it is going to have to figure out how to step off this stupid treadmill and do something different. And I'm stunned by the fact that there doesn't appear to be a movement of Gen Z folks opting out of the sophistications or pseudo-sophistications of their era. I'm hoping it will merge. I'm expecting it any day, but I have yet to see it. I like your parallel between the incel on the one hand and the OnlyFans model on the other. It's like an involuntarily celibate male and an involuntarily hypersexual female. And people say, well, what do you mean involuntary? They're deciding to have an OnlyFans account. Well, no. What they are doing is they are being driven to OnlyFans or its equivalent by the lack of good options, sexually speaking. The only viable option is to monetize your sexuality if you're beautiful enough to do it, and hope to reach a large audience, because effectively it would be hard to find a man worth partnering with, that the society is so confused that most men who in theory could be mates don't have the skill set nor the opportunities to bring to the table that which would ordinarily cause them to find a partner. And so finding many fractional partners is what these OnlyFans models are doing. Now, of course, for almost all of them, it is not economically viable. And the result is that the market causes the exploitation of people who are not going to get a good deal. It's only a tiny number of Taylor Swifts who find themselves extremely wealthy as a result of I'm not sure what exactly. I hope people don't think I'm analogizing her to an OnlyFans model, although it's not an entirely distinct phenomenon. I see her on stage wearing absurdly provocative costumes, and I think to myself, so is she really in charge, or has the system kind of enslaved her, you know, and it's not really one or the other. She's obviously beyond wealthy, but nonetheless, it doesn't look to me like the choices that somebody who really had achieved a level of power over their own life would be making.
I recently got engaged, and my fiance, she has a pretty big YouTube platform as well. And she's never really showed much skin. She's never, you know, done any of those. And I asked her why she's never done that. And she said that once you do that, nobody will ever take you seriously. All you have to do is do it once, and nobody will ever take you seriously after that. And I thought that that was such a good point. And I've heard street interviews where people go around and say, would you date a girl that had an OnlyFans? And for most men, it seems like that's a deal breaker. And for women, it's also a deal breaker. Would you date a guy that followed girls on OnlyFans? They say, oh, no. So it seems like this way of life is being incentivized, yet it's completely at odds with traditional romance and what could actually connect us.
Not only that, but if we go back to porn for a second, the porn industry is composed of a bunch of different companies that are competing with each other. And they're all selling the same thing. So in order to capture people's attention, they are forced to compete in the extremeness of what they are presenting, which forces them directly into taboos. So they are breaking every taboo for very mundane economic reasons. And the problem with that is that the human creature is built to discover what sex is. And they discover it in part through the observation of other people, most of which is hidden, but there's a certain amount that one can observe. And then they discover it through an intensely bonding exploration with somebody else, a very private exploration that unites you in a secret kind of knowledge. By replacing that natural process of discovery with porn saturated with taboos, we are actually distorting the sexual development of the people who find this stuff early in life, which is almost every male, I'm now led to believe. And what is very hard to say to these folks is, by participating in that, by consuming that content, you are destroying your own sexual mind, and you are harming your future partner. And by doing that, you're changing your whole life. You don't think you're making a decision that's changing your life. You think you'll do it, and if it's not good, you'll stop. And maybe you will. But the question is, you can't go back to whatever your mind would have done. You can't build the relationship you would have built if you have seen so many of these images and your mind has, because it has no resistance to this, because it has seen it with its own photoreceptors, you have taken it in as if that's a real portrayal of human sex. And it isn't. That's a market force. That's not what passion does. So really, for many years, I suffered the accusation of being a prude for saying things like this. And I'm not a prude. I'm not even against sexually explicit content. Erotica is fine. That's an ancient form. I'm against what the market is doing to sex, which I think is extremely dangerous.
And it seems like the incentives plus the emerging AI could just add gas to that fire. Because right now we have real women who are taking pictures and putting filters on and photoshopping and whatever they can do, but they're actually doing that themselves. What if we take away the human woman with the soul and just replace it with an AI that is designed to get you to pay attention to it as long as possible? And it could exploit our brains just like fast food has exploited us. There's no limit to that.
It can and it will. And even worse than that, we are already at the point where AI can attach somebody's face to pornography who didn't consent to it. And so imagine that your sexual mind is being instructed by this profit-driven industry, and it gets the ability to attach the face of your crush to these violent or otherwise troubling images. And then how exactly are you supposed to navigate a relationship with that person should they find you attractive? It's going to destroy what little of value remains in that landscape, and it just doesn't leave a path forward in which there is an honorable relationship between men and women.
And from like an evolutionary standpoint, does this point towards extinction, or does this point to maybe like people figure out a new way to breed digitally?
You know, it takes an awful lot to create extinction. I see that hazard in various things that we're doing. I don't see it in the absolute destruction of normal relation between the sexes, because, you know, it only takes a small number of people to figure it out to keep the species going. And in fact, you know, you can imagine all kinds of dystopias in which eggs and sperm are joined in some way and technologically brought to maturity, or surrogacy becomes economically driven by people who want to produce children for reasons of vanity or whatever. You know, so there are lots of ways in which humanity can go forward. But from the point of view of a civilization that makes sense, the importance of sexual and romantic drive cannot be overstated. For almost all of our history as humans, the desire to become worthy of a sexual relationship has motivated men to accomplish great things. It is in large measure the fuel that created civilization. By eliminating that incentive structure, by making sex common, disgusting, dangerous, we are removing the thing that caused us to find this way of being. And I'm afraid, although it's hard to predict the particulars of the way that goes wrong, the general trajectory is clear. And again, the right thing to do is for young people to say, actually, I can see the problem, and I'm going to opt out, and I'm going to interact with those who have also opted out. I don't know why that movement has not arisen yet, but when it does, it will not be a moment too soon.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that clip with Brett Weinstein. If you want to see the full conversation, you can click the link in the description, or head over to Before School, our second channel, and see that conversation along with many others. I hope you enjoyed this one, and thank you very much.